One of the great truths about the Lord is that He is a God of tremendous ability and creativity. The scripture says that He has made us, He's made human beings in the image of God. Back over in the first part of the book of Genesis, whenever the Lord is beginning to make the first man and woman, the scripture says that the Lord says, let us make man in our image. And so we've been made in the image of God. And later you find in Genesis 9, now the reason why the penalty for murder is so severe is because that whenever someone murders a human being, they lift their hand against the image of God. This is something very precious. We alone, out of all creation, are made in the image of God. People debated over the exact details of what that image entails. A part of it, for sure, is the advanced intelligence, communicative ability, the ability to be self-aware, to know that we are someone, and to think on a level that other creations are not able to think. One of the great parts of that image of God is the ability to communicate with Him, to know Him, and to be like Him as a person. He is a God who is able, who is creative, and He Himself gives to us abilities. As He is a God of ability, so He gives us ability. This morning we're going to take a look at applying my abilities. The abilities that we have reflect the image of God. They're given to us. We develop them, but there's some abilities that He gives. We want to take a look at those. We're considering the acrostic shape, S-H-A-P-E. In order to get a focus on what God wants you doing on the planet Earth, one of the things that will help you tremendously is to get a grasp of how He has made you. Now, whenever you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll give you spiritual gifts, that's the S. He'll also place in your heart a heart for certain kinds of things. There are certain things that just make your heart beat faster. And different people have different things on their heart. We took a look at those last week. Today we want to look at applying my abilities and then at plugging in your personality. God gives different abilities and different personalities to us. We want to take a look at these. Would you stand with me? Let's pray together and then launch into some more discovery of how the Lord has made us. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus for your instruction right now. We desire for clarification of who we are. Your word says in Romans 12:3. That we're to think of ourselves with sober judgment. We easily think too highly of ourselves and then get so disappointed with ourselves because we don't match up that we get down on ourselves because we're so high on ourselves. Father, we pray for sober judgment, for real clear perception of who we are and who we're not, so that we might more clearly follow you and do what you intend to do through us. Help us to understand and appreciate the way that you have made us and the good things that you have for us. Speak to us, we ask you in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Scripture says there are different abilities to perform service. I'm going to take a look at your abilities. I'd like to read you this, though, first. This is called the animal school. Okay? So you may have heard this before. If you haven't, you'll like it. The animals had a school. The curriculum consisted of running, climbing, flying, and swimming. All the animals took all the subjects. The duck was good at swimming and fair in flying, but he was terrible in running. So he was made to drop his swimming class and made to stay after school to practice running. He kept this up until he was only average in swimming, but average was acceptable. The others, including the teachers, were no longer threatened by the duck's swimming abilities, so everyone felt more comfortable. Except the duck. The eagle was considered to be a problem student. For instance, in climbing class, he could beat all others to the top of the tree, but he insisted on using his own method of getting there. He had to be severely disciplined, and finally, because of his non-cooperation in swimming, he was expelled for insubordination. The rabbit started at the top of the class in running, but obviously he was inadequate in other areas. Because of so much makeup work and swimming, he had a nervous breakdown and had to drop out of school. The turtle was a failure in most every course offered. His shell was considered to be the leading cause of his failure, so it was removed. This did help his running a bit, But sadly, he became the first casualty when he was stepped on by the horse. Here's the summation. The faculty was disappointed, but all in all, it was a good school in humility. There were no real successes. None seemed to measure up to the others. But they did concentrate on their weak points, and some progress was made. You get the point? Everyone doesn't fit into a mold. God has given different strengths and different abilities. Here at Hope, what we want to do in the way we approach our ministry and what we're doing with people is we don't want to zero in on what you're not good at. If there are parts of your life that do need to be strengthened and you need help in, then great, we'd like to help out. But what we'd really like to do as we approach ministry is help you find out what God has strengthened you for and help you build on those strengths. God has given a lot of different abilities, and we'd like to appreciate those abilities. Over here in Exodus 31:3, you can see, I, God speaking, I have given him skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts. What do you underline? Skill, ability, and knowledge. This is something God gives, and it all adds up to a real ability in this area. One of the most common excuses people give for not getting involved in the ministry is, I just don't have any abilities to offer. And nothing can be further from the truth. The key is matching your abilities with the right ministry. There are some misconceptions about abilities, skills, and talents, and I hear several myths that you can see. Number one, people aren't born with skills. All skills must be learned by experience. Now, this is not true in absolute form. There are a number of skills which seem to be inborn, or abilities which seem to be inborn, or are developed very early in infancy. When people say, he just seems to have a natural talent for it, it's probably true. You know, Michael Jordan, you know, that guy plays basketball like few people play basketball. He just has a talent, a natural talent for it. And some of you have a track record of things that go way back where people just say, boy, that person just has a talent for this. Myth number two, those skills which must be learned are learned primarily in the classroom. That's a myth. Actually, some of your most basic skills are learned at home, in the street, or somewhere else outside the classroom. In the classroom, we pick up information, but in other arenas of life, we pick up abilities. So, like, you know, eating, that's a very basic skill. They didn't send you away for a seminar on eating. You just sat in the home and you learned how to do this. Problem solving. We tend to learn outside the classroom. Myth number three. If you have certain abilities, you'll be very aware that you have them. Again, it's not true. You're probably using a number of talents and skills you're not even aware of. You need some process of skill identification. That's what we're going to try to help you do. Myth number four. Skills that I now use at work are only usable in that environment. You know, I can never use them in the ministry. That's not true. The skills that you use at work are very usable in other areas of life and in the ministry. So take what you know at work and learn how to apply it in situations in helping people. Be creative. One time I did a seminar on some things about administration and management, and we talked about a certain way of checking back on assignments that have been handed out. That's more of a creative way of doing it. And one of the women in the class, who was a supervisor at her work, came up to me afterwards and said, you know, I do this all the time with my employees. I never thought about doing it with my work here in the church. You know, there are all kinds of things that we learn at work that apply in dealing with people and helping out in all kinds of other areas of life. We just need to make the bridge between the areas. Myth number five, most people only have a few abilities. The truth is, the national studies have proven the average person possesses from 500 to 700 skills. So we're going to take a look at these. The last time we were together, I encouraged you to look over your accomplishments and write down your accomplishments, like in elementary school and younger, high school, the college years or the 20s, your 30s, and then later stages in life. Break life into chunks and look at, write down two or three things you feel like that you really did well and you really enjoyed doing. Now, if you have done that, or if you will do that, we could give you the handout or you could make up your own chart. One of the things that you need to do is go back over the accomplishments that you listed. Look over your accomplishments again and circle all the verbs. Why don't you circle the word verbs there? The verbs that denote activities you performed while you were doing each achievement. And compare them with this list that follows right here. Let's just take a run through the list real quick. Entertaining ability. Ability to perform, act, dance, speak. Do some magic, sleight of hand. If you do the real stuff, you do the real magic, then Scripture says you need to check out where your power is coming from. But sleight of hand. Recruiting ability. The ability to enlist and motivate people to get involved. You might put a star by these as we go through things you think you might have. Interviewing ability, ability to discover what others are really like. Researching ability, to read, gather information, collect data. Artistic ability, to conceptualize, picture, draw, photograph, or make renderings. Graphics ability, to lay out, create visual displays or banners. Evaluating ability, ability to analyze data and draw conclusions. Planning ability, to strategize, design, and organize programs and events. Managing ability, to listen, to supervise people to accomplish a task or event, and to coordinate the details involved. Counseling ability, to listen, encourage, and guide with sensitivity. Teaching ability, to explain, train, demonstrate, tutor. Writing ability, write articles, letters, books. Editing ability, to proofread and rewrite. You know, those two aren't the same thing. It's one thing to write, it's another thing to get it right. And some have the ability to see and do those things in the editing. Promoting ability, to advertise, promote events and activities. Repairing ability, fix, restore, maintain. Feeding ability, or feeding ability, to create meals for large or small groups. You love to do that. Real ability. If you have this one, people tend to comment on it. If you don't have it, they probably have not commented on it. Recall ability, to remember or recall names and faces. Mechanical operating ability. What? Okay, you don't have the next page? Uh-oh. We got through the same thing. We talked to the printer. Okay, different page number, same stuff. Okay. Why don't you write these down then? Where did you stop at? Feeding ability? Okay, feeding ability, recall ability, to remember or recall names and faces, mechanical, so you had repairing ability, then feeding ability, feeding, recall, keyword. Now, feeding ability, the ability to create meals for large or small groups, recall ability, remember or recall names and faces, mechanical operating, you know, operating equipment, tools, or machinery, you just know how to do that. You like it, you have the ability to. Resourceful ability, being resourceful. Search out, find inexpensive material or resources needed. That's the ability of scrounge. Counting, ability to work with numbers, data, or money. Classifying, ability to systematize and file books, data, records, materials. Classifying, so that they're easily retrieved. It's one thing to file them, it's another thing to be able to retrieve them. Public relations ability. Ability to handle complaints and unhappy customers with care and courtesy instead of combat. A public relations ability. Welcoming ability. Able to convey warmth, develop rapport, making others feel comfortable. Composing ability. Write music or lyrics. Composing. Landscaping ability. Ability to do gardening and work with plants. Decorating. Ability to beautify a setting for a special event. And one of the things that I realized myself just on in the area of decorating, I have some ability with line, and I can sort of deal with line, the line component in decorating. But whenever it comes down to color, when I put all the colors together, rather than a symphony, it sounds like a mob. You know, whenever I put color, I'm good at I like individual colors. Whenever I put them all together, it's like a riot. Deborah looked, she's good at individual colors too. When she puts them together, it's wonderful. We discovered that as we redone some houses. So whenever it comes down to color and all those things, I say, that's nice. I know my limits. List your specialized abilities on your personal profile. We're going to be handing this out next week. Here are some questions to ask yourself. These are not on the handout at all, period. You might write these down. Your current vocation, what is it? What's your current job? God can use job skills in your ministry. Can you use vocational skill to help your church family? You know, a lot of you are doing that. You're in the computers, and you're helping us out on the computers in the office. Law, people with construction ability really helped us out as we looked over buildings. Accounting, there's just a lot of different job skills you're already using to help with. Other jobs or skills I have experience in. What are some others? Are there any others besides one you currently have? And then, I've taught a class on, have you ever taught a class? It doesn't have to be on something spiritual. You know, something like safety, childbirth, communication, media. I've taught a class on, a lot of times the class, if you taught classes, those classes give you some indication of your ability. So take a look over what you've done in the past. Star some of these things you think might be abilities. And see if you can come up with a one or two, or maybe three strongest ones. What you feel are your three strongest abilities. We're going to move on right now. We're not going to do that just yet. Plugging in your personality is next. Do you have that sheet? Okay, I'd like you to do something. In the box, the top box, write your name in cursive. Okay? If you can do that, write your name in cursive. You know, the flowing letters. Did you do that? Okay, now write it with your other hand. Second box, change hands with your pen and write your name. What happened? Messed up. That's right. When you try to do something that's not natural to you, did these things happen for you? You felt uncomfortable? It took extra time and effort. You still did a lousy job at it. Now, if you're ambidextrous, my wife's father is ambidextrous. I mean, he can do just about anything with both hands. You might have done well with both hands. But if you're not used to writing with that other hand, you can just, you can stick your tongue out between your teeth and bear down. You can do all kinds of stuff, and it still doesn't come out looking that good. Same things are true when we try to minister in areas that are not really suited to our personality. Why don't you underline that? In areas that are not suited to our personality. God has wired your temperament in a unique way, and that factor is very important in matching you to the right ministry. It's obvious that God has not used a cookie cutter to stamp out people in a process of uniformity. He loves variety. So you just look around. There are no really right or wrong temperaments. Temperaments are sort of the personality framework with which you approach life. There are really no right or wrong temperaments. Every temperament has its positive and its negative characteristics. Sin expresses itself in different ways with different temperaments. But they're still different temperaments even without the sin. Now God just wires us together different ways. And we need opposites to balance out the church life. Different spiritual gifting and different kinds of temperaments. So if the ministry that you're doing or the things you feel the Lord's calling you to don't really jive with your personality, you need to double check this. Now, I'm not saying that if God is in it, then it'll always be easy and completely comfortable. I'm not saying that. Because many times in whatever ministry, whatever kind of thing the Lord puts you in to minister to people, there are many, many times that there's a lot of stress and there's a lot of push and that things just take effort. And faithfulness is an issue. If God told you to do something, you need to do it, whether it's comfortable or not. At the same time, as you're trying to focus, though, on what God wants you to do in the long run, as you're trying to get a picture of this thing, you need to understand how He's made you, and you need to consider your temperament. Okay, so I'm not saying that all ministry is always going to be easy, and if it's not easy, that you're just out of the will of God. But I am saying that as you begin to narrow down into the places, the areas where you need to spend extended amounts of time, you really need to take into account your personality. For example, say you've got the spiritual gift of administration, and you know how to organize, and you like to do that, you like to delegate and check back with people. And say two people have that gift, and they both have a heart for working with teenagers. But one person is an extrovert, and one person is an introvert. They go about their ministries in very different ways. As a matter of fact, their job descriptions probably ought to be very different. Now, personality, whenever you plug into your personality, you get greater clarity on what God wants you to do. The same gift, same heart, but different personality usually makes for a different ministry. So there's no personality right or wrong, but they do help shape the kind of ministries that we ought to do. So what we have here on this, do you have the chart? Everybody's got the chart, great. How do I see myself? I'd like to just walk you through this basic little profile right here. This comes from several personality profiles being looked at, studied, and put together. If you'd like to do some more research, I'll give you a couple of books in a moment. How do you see yourself? From extroverted to introverted, there's a scale here. From the extreme, that's a 3, down to very mild, on over to extreme on the other side. 3 on the other side. Whenever I've done personality profiles, I've ended up in the past, I haven't done one recently, but I've ended up in the past pretty far out in the extreme on the extrovert. I look like an introvert, a lot of people tell me. But I'm an extrovert. I have a friend that has planted, John Worcester has planted something like 7 churches now, 8 churches. And John comes out on personality profiling an introvert. And here's a guy who's gathered all kinds of people. Right now he's in Russia getting ready. He's already trained 300 church planters, getting ready to work on training another 300. And he's introverted. Many times we hear the words extrovert and introvert, and we immediately stereotype people with exactly how they're going to behave. But these words, as they're used here, really have to do with where you get your energy from. They're not so much, are you a bouncy, outgoing personality, or are you withdrawn and prefer to fade into the flowers on the wall? That's not what this is about. This is introvert and extrovert is about where you get your energy from. The question is, on the scale right here, where do I get energy from? What really turns me on? What drains me? Extroverts get energy from being with people. The more they're around people, the faster the engine revs and the longer it goes. You know, the kind of people that go to a party, they've been there 30 minutes, they're having a great time. They've been there an hour. They're having a wonderful time. They've been there 2 hours. They're ready to go for another 5 or 6 hours. They get their energy by being with people. I get my energy by being with people. Whenever extroverts are alone, energy drains. They need to be alone every now and then. Everybody needs that. You need some space. But energy drains out of them whenever they're alone. And so if they get alone too much, one of my good friends is an extreme extrovert. And she went through a period where she had to be alone for an extended time, and it about drove her nuts. She had to finish her master's thesis, and being away from people just about drove her nuts, because she got her energy from being with people. Had to be alone with this paper and writing. You know, though she's a very creative person, just drained her out. Introverts, they get their energy out of being alone. As they get some space and they're able to be alone, they rebuild, their batteries recharge, and then they're ready to be with people again. Introverts go to a party, they've been there 30 minutes, and they're enjoying themselves. They've been there 45 minutes, and they're getting a little bit tired. After about an hour, they feel like they put in their time, and they go home. Now, some of you are like that. You know, you go to a big party, and you feel like you put in your time, and you're ready to go home. You're more on the introverted side. Some are more extreme on the extroversion. Some are more extreme on the introversion. Where would you fit? Why don't you put an X on the scale somewhere here? Now, maybe you'd be right exactly in the middle. But mildly one way or the other, or extreme one way or the other. The second category has to do with what kind of task do you prefer? Whenever you're given a task, what do you like? Do you like tasks that are predictable? No, you don't like the new. You prefer the routine. You like things that are predictable. You like to establish a routine in life. You get up and go through the routine. You know it makes you more effective. You feel it's more efficient. And you prefer predictable things throughout the day. Or, for some people, the routine is simply boring. You know, the idea of 8 to 5 is just boring. To have the same routines, have the same tasks to do every day, doesn't help out at all. It just wipes them out. For them, they prefer something new all the time. And they prefer to sort of go with the flow, and they like the unpredictable. Where do you fit here? Do you like the routine or the unpredictable? You can tell by the way your days are structured. Or if your days have structure. You know, for some of us, every day is a brand new adventure. Where do you fit on the scale? You sort of like both, or a little more on one side or on the other, or are you more further out in one direction? How about self-control? This has to do with how you express yourself. Do you tend to be more self-controlled? Do you like to be in control of your emotions? Do you like to be in control of your mood? You're very much in control of your reactions in situations? Or are you more on the side of just sort of letting it all hang out? You know, when I speak my mind in situations. How would you say you fit? Put an X on the scale somewhere. You're very self-expressive on the one hand, or you're more self-controlled. The next scale is cooperative or competitive. There's some of you who are just born to compete. You know, nothing is fun unless there's some competition to it. If there's a goal and there's some competition, then it's fun. You know, you want to be involved with it. Others of you could care less about competition. As a matter of fact, the idea of competition is disgusting to you. You prefer to cooperate. Rather than compete with other people, you want to work together. And you want, rather than everybody competing for the goal, you'd rather see everybody lined up and cooperating toward a goal. Maybe you'd even like to see everybody doing the same thing. Where do you fit on the scale? Are you more cooperative or more competitive? This last one has to do with how you make decisions. From thinking to feeling, more of a thinker or more of a feeler. Thinkers, the ones who are more thinking-oriented, tend to make their decisions based on facts. They want things to be logical. They want good proof, and they make their decisions based on facts. They're more objective in their decision-making. Those who are more feeling-oriented tend to base their decision on what's important to people. Not just is this logical, but they look at the people around them. They're not simply asking, what does everybody think? But they make the decisions really thinking about the people involved. And they tend to make their decisions based on more on the subjective or more on intuition, a gut feeling. Often thinkers and feelers are married to each other. Now, where do you fit on the scale? Again, next week we're going to hand out the personal profile. And you can begin to summarize this data that you've been accumulating lately. But if you like more routine, and you're put into a ministry or a job situation, and you have that native ability just to start from scratch and create things, and you're put into a routine job, you just go bonkers after a while. The job just wears you out. Now, these personality things ought to give you some perspective on your careers and using your strengths in your work. If you really are competitive and you love to compete, and you're put in a job where there is no competition, the job will go flat for you. If you really are cooperative and you're put in a highly competitive situation, it will really, really grate and grind on you and take energy out of you rather than giving you zest. So hopefully this is going to give you some perspective on how God has put your personality together. Which is right, thinking or feeling? Yeah, yes, that's right. Which is right, introvert or extrovert? Yes. There are different ways extroverts tend to get in sin from introverts. But they both get into sin. But whenever both are walking with the Lord, they're still going to have different expressions of their personalities. So your abilities and your personalities are given to you by God. You may develop them in a job situation, but God's the one who hands out abilities to people. And your personality comes from the hand of God. If you're more introverted, you don't have anything to apologize for. If you're more extroverted, you don't have anything to apologize for. God has wired you together for different situations. So we're going to be taking these and working 2 weeks from now on experiences, the last part of the SHAPE seminar, and then pulling these things together to get a perspective on your ministries. Would you stand with me? Let's pray together. As you have starred some things or you have placed an X in certain areas, would you just take a moment right now, bow your head, and thank the Lord for these things? Father, the days come and go, and some days we're up, some days we're down, and some days we're just up and down all day long. Sometimes challenges face us that excite us so much, and sometimes problems face us that we just wonder how on earth we're going to conquer, how we're going to move through this. And the days come and go. But you, O God, never change. Thank you so much for giving us abilities and different personalities, different abilities and personalities to contribute to what you're doing in the world. Thank you for the way these things help us to provide income for our families. Thank you for the way that they bring us delight as we're able to be involved with them. Thank you for the good things you can do through them to bless other people. And we just say right now before you, you are the creative God. You are the one who is able to do all things. You will never sin, you will never lie. But it's not because you're unable. You just don't do that. So Father, we're glad that you are the God of the universe. And we're glad that we reflect your creative ability. We ask you to teach us to appreciate what you've given us. And at the same time, Father, teach us to appreciate what you've given our friends and our mates, what you've given people around us. Show us, Father, the reflection of you, and turn our hearts toward appreciation rather than envy or coveting. We ask you in the name of Jesus to open our eyes to how great the future you have for us really is. And what wonderful things you intend to do through us. Whenever we are challenged with comparison or envy, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would work in our hearts appreciation and excitement. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.